When you see them on a distant mountainside or running across the desert, it's hard to imagine that Nevada's wild horses could be that controversial. But what to do with these Mustangs has long been a hot political topic. Recently, the House earmarked $11 million in the Bureau of Land Management's budget for wild horse fertility control. Lifelong resident John L. Smith, a State of Nevada contributor, has been following the issue. John, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
So first off, $11 million sounds like a lot of money for wild horse birth control, but it's a pretty small slice of the BLM's overall budget for its wild horse and burro program. So how important is this development?
Well, it really signals a change in philosophy. Because this is a bipartisan issue, that $11 million really is a new chapter for the treatment of the horses and burros. Whereas previously, they were rounded up. Adoption programs have shown marginal success. There are a lot of animals, and they breed pretty quickly. So, and up to 90,000 in the country, and most of those in Nevada. So it's really a Nevada-first problem, you know, that members of Congress are focused on because they want to fix it rather than just continue to treat it and spend, as you say, literally hundreds of millions of dollars chasing the horses around.
Yeah, so a change in philosophy. Are they not going to be doing the roundups anymore?
Well, there'll still be roundups, but those are controversial because there are a lot of folks out there who really love the horses. Whether they know all about what goes on out in the wild is another question. However, you know, those roundups have been the traditional way that you move the horses off of land that they might be overgrazing on. And so, you know, that controversy, sometimes the animals are injured, and I think people want to see something different. And the drug called PZP, there are mechanisms now that it can be applied more easily to the animals than before. So, you know, basically not as much stress and perhaps more effective.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hearing wild horse advocates say about this latest development?
Well, you know, I think what they're focused on is that this is a bipartisan effort. There are Republicans, Western Republicans, and Western Democrats, especially in Nevada. Dina Titus, the congresswoman from Las Vegas, led the way for the state on this issue. And I think once you see that, it's sending a clearer message to Washington look, it's time to do something. And this is an area where the BLM has been controversial since the early 70s with what is really a very admirable act to affect and essentially work with those wild horses and burros that are a problem for some ranchers and certainly are breeding on the range.
Right. So it is receiving bipartisan support in Washington, but what about wild horse advocates who usually aren't affiliated with political parties?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is one of those issues where from the Western horse advocates to the Eastern, the horse racing advocates and representatives, people like Marty Irby, Animal Wellness, you know, this is a guy who was a world champion, Tennessee walking horse champ. And so you've got all kinds of different players that all appear to be on the same page because they want a change there and they want a more humane, what they're calling a more humane treatment of the animals as you're addressing the issue of what to do with them.
Since this is, as you said, a Nevada-first plan, where's Nevada's delegation been in this?
Well, you know, for the most part, very supportive of the animals. They know, obviously, that about 80% of the public, when surveys are taken, the vast majority of the public favors a humane treatment of those animals and basically something to do other than to round them up. And depending on who is in office and depending on the era, you know, they've been taken to slaughter. Again, as I said before, you know, adoption has worked to a small degree, but there are too many animals, and some of them are just not adoptable. So, those are some of the issues.
Is there anyone vocally against this plan of administering more birth control?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, the administration's choice to head the BLM is a man named William Perry Penley, and he's very controversial from that environmental side of things. The folks who love the wild horses, they don't love him. He's the former president of the Mountain States Legal Foundation. He was there for quite a long time, wrote a number of controversial essays, and is basically known as a friend of extractive industry, mining, ranching, and all of that. And, you know, has been considered by those environmentalists an anti-environmentalist. And so, but he also is the nominee to head BLM. And this is a person who has said previously that he thinks all federal land should be no longer. It should all be turned back to states and private ownership. So you've got a person who's really at cross purposes for that program itself. Some folks have said, and Penley is one of them, that the wild horses and burros are the greatest danger to Western lands. And others would obviously disagree with him on that. But, you know, so that, those are the sides of the story, really, as it plays out. But this is a breakthrough for those people who love the wild horses and are trying to do something about them.
Well, I'm wondering if the argument against roundups is mostly focused on animal cruelty and, you know, what you do with them once you have them rounded up, because many times they're, you know, in these long-term BLM facilities. I mean, won't they have to use some of the same tactics to administer this birth control?
You know, it's interesting. If this were 10 years ago, the answer would be yes, absolutely. There's going to be some kind of roundup. You're going to have to get close enough to the animals. You can't, helicopter in and dart the animals as they do in the movies. However, technology has changed, and with the rise of drone technology and the ability to identify the animals up close, you can actually administer the drug, at a distance, and it's less obtrusive and less stressful for the animals. And it's interesting that some ranchers in northern Nevada right now are using drone technology to round up some of their herds. When the herds get back in the hills, they'll use the drone and the camera to basically go find them and bring them, kind of shoo them out of the hills. And so you're seeing it used more and more often. And I think that's, this is one of the ideas that is being floated, for this purpose.
Are there more politics at play here? I mean, what else is going on at the Bureau of Land Management these days?
Well, clearly there's a move to try to block this appointment of Penley. He's been there. He's been a controversial appointment in the past. He has been criticized as being anti-Native American for some of his political stances. And so, this is a person who clearly is in the sights of some critics, especially in the House, where the Democrats hold a majority.
Is it safe to say many or most wild horse advocates are in favor of this plan?
Yeah, it appears to be. It's pretty, that's one part of the picture, but it definitely is. You even have some ranchers who believe that something needs to be done. Now, and they might favor roundup and removal. However, since that seems to be more and more controversial, they want something to be done. And if this is a way forward that eventually winds up saving money rather than just spending, I know it sounds like a lot, but spending a few million dollars when you've been spending hundreds of millions of dollars, it actually might be smart money over time.
I'm talking to John L. Smith about the Bureau of Land Management's latest plan for controlling wild horses and burros in the West. And now I kind of want to move on to human control, or at least new attempts at controlling the spread of COVID-19. Governor Steve Sisolak announced Friday he was extending a directive that enables alternative ways to hold public meetings and limits gatherings to 50 people or fewer. Other governors are doing similar things around the country, but I guess the quintessential question is the governor doing enough?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And some folks have questioned whether the slow rollout of our economy should have been rolled back with the spiking numbers. Clearly, at the national level, Nevada's numbers are pretty troubling. But the other side of the coin is that you have to, at some point, try to go back to work. And so I think the governor's balancing interests. I think this is a real good example, another example of why this should have a national strategy rather than a piecemeal strategy of kind of every governor for him or herself.
I know that you personally travel through Nevada and the West quite a bit. So are other states in the region doing any better?
Well, you know, Arizona is still scrambling to play catch up. It's an interesting thing on Native American reservations. You see a lot more advanced thinking there in some cases than you do in other parts of the state. In Arizona, you've got businesses that have been shut down off the highway because some of the tribes are so vulnerable, and so you've got a lot of different things going on, and unfortunately, you've got inconsistent messaging. And the one thing that Americans can do is they can follow certain directions, especially if there's leadership that make those directions, acceptable. It's hard to be cool with the mask on, but the bottom line is that leadership is what all these governors are scrambling to try to provide. And as I, having visited Arizona and New Mexico recently, you see very different focuses. They're essentially on the same page now, but just a few weeks ago, Arizona was still wide open, and New Mexico was in the north, especially central and northern New Mexico, was practicing very differently than they were in Arizona, or even in south and eastern New Mexico.
I've heard some people saying that Governor Sisolak's main dilemma has to do with just whether or not to close the casinos or not. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, there's no question that that's a huge political player. It's the economic driver for the state. It is a question, and it's difficult. And as much as the critics, including some in Culinary Union, who have some very thoughtful ideas about because they are frontline workers and there's thousands of them, but those same people have a lot of consternation, but they also want to go back to work. And so, no one wants to be, I believe no one wants to be out of work. We'd all like it to go back to a normal time, but of course that's months and months away.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, I just wanted to bring up one more thing. The Las Vegas journalism community lost one of its veterans recently with the death of Kathy Espin, and you knew and worked with her at the Las Vegas Sun. What can you tell me about her?
Oh, Kathy Espin was a joy. She was one of those people who was so generous with young reporters. She was friendly. She was a fine editor. I mean, technically a really good reporter and editor. She was an instructor at the university. She did so much to improve other people's work. It's one thing for the journalism is sometimes all elbows in competition. But you do meet people who are generous of spirit, and she was certainly one of them. And I'm getting phone calls from a number of friends, all of us with gray hair in the community who have worked at the newspaper over the years. We'll miss her and people like her.
John L. Smith is a regular contributor to State of Nevada. He's a longtime journalist in the state. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is State of Nevada.